Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Zen Up, a podcast produced by Sunbury Press's BookSpeak Network, and you are on episode 11. I'm your host, Susan Kiskis. In the show, we bring two worlds together, wellness and spirituality. From yoga to Buddhism, healthy eating to turning dreams into a reality, listeners will find themselves on a journey into their own virtual spiritual pilgrimage. If you want to continue the conversation after the show, visit my Facebook page, Yogic Living with Susan, or sign up for my weekly newsletter at susankiskis.com. My guest today is nutritional therapy practitioner Taylor Dietrich. Taylor is the founder of Arrow Nutritional Therapy, where she works with clients one-on-one. She is passionate about helping others improve digestive health, prioritize stress relief, and create a positive relationship with food. You can find Taylor speaking at workshops, spreading the message of sustainable nutrition, or speaking with athletic organizations on the importance of food as fuel. Taylor, welcome to Zen Up.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here today. This is clearly a topic that I'm very passionate about, and I'm so delighted to have you because I know that your passion for healthy living and eating is equal or above mine. So I'm grateful for your time today. Thank you so much.
Yes, I'm excited to be here and talk about stuff.
I thought we would start with your own journey. So you became a nutritional therapy practitioner about a year or two ago, and I was wondering if you could just share with our listeners today about how not only you made the decision to start studying more about healthy eating and healthy living, but also, like, when in your life did you kind of have that trigger moment of, really making the choices to eat healthy? Maybe it was a lifelong decision that you were kind of brought up that way, but if you don't mind sharing, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. Actually, it was quite the opposite. I was raised on pizza rolls and Lunchables and, you know, all the quick foods. we did have homemade meals a lot, but, you know, I was always at sports and practice, so we need a lot of quick things on the go. So it actually wasn't until my summer after my freshman year of college. I played field hockey at a Division I school, and so after that first year, I kind of realized, okay, I need to, like, amp up my eating and get a bit healthier so I can be as strong and fast and, you know, as best I can be for this sport. And I, you know, went back that summer, and I just started researching and changing my food and just kind of eating a little bit more balanced than I was before and really taking care of myself. And so that's where I kind of first dived into the whole healthy living, nutrition world. And from there, I think over the next couple of years while I was still in school, I just really kind of struggled to understand, you know, what diet to go for and what would work for me. And, you know, I was hearing all of these outside voices of, you know, don't eat this, you should eat that. You shouldn't eat meat, you should eat meat. Don't eat carbs, you don't need carbs. and, you know, all of the crazy kind of sometimes myths that come out of nutrition and, you know, reading magazines and social media. And so I became super confused about, you know, what was healthy? What did I need for myself? And so after college, I actually went abroad. I was living in Northern Ireland for about 6 months. My best friend's family was super awesome. They had me come stay with them. I got to play field hockey again. And I was meant to actually go into an advertising agency internship there. And I had kind of done some sales internships when I was in school. And so that was kind of the path I was on. I majored in leadership studies, which is, you know, a little different than nutrition, but I loved it. And I just found myself, I didn't really want to do sales. I didn't want to, you know, get people to buy things. I didn't really care for the advertising thing. I thought I would have liked it. But what actually happened is that didn't really work out. It was really hard to get a work visa while I was there. So I kind of just spent 6 months, you know, playing field hockey, traveling, and figuring out my next steps. And I knew I wanted to get back into nutrition, but I just wasn't sure which program I wanted. I didn't want to spend too much time on the program. I didn't want to spend a lot more money. I had just come out of school, and I just wanted something that was a little bit more holistic as well. So I stumbled upon the Nutritional Therapy Association, and I really believed in their what they stood for, and I loved their curriculum. And so I actually started that program February of 2017, right after I moved home from Ireland.
Very good. And then I know that, like, you in particular, when it comes to the healthy lifestyle, you're very passionate about food in general. And I thought what we can do today is just talk about a little overarching. See, living is such a broad topic, and we could talk about this for hours and not even scratch the surface.
Yeah.
So I thought for a lot of our listeners too, you know, who are, you know, they identify healthy living with like fad diets, we can kind of maybe give them a broad overall, like share with them a broad overall description of what healthy living is. And maybe talk a little bit about like how it's a very, like you're talking about, a very holistic process. It's not just food.
Yeah, and I want to go into that too of what healthy living isn't, because I think a lot of people, especially me in college, I was super restrictive with what I was eating, to the point where it became an eating disorder. I was always fearful of certain foods, and I thought, okay, I'm following what everyone's telling me and I'm doing the right things, in quotes, the right things. and I thought I was healthy, and you know, my roommates and my teammates can probably tell me, like, Taylor, we knew like that wasn't really the best for you, but, you know, they're not gonna sit me down, you know, my senior year of college. But, so I think it's, I think healthy living, what it should be, is taking care of yourself, and actually putting time for yourself and making sure that all aspects of your life are, you know, in good order, and that you're putting yourself first almost, especially with your energy, your time, the energy that you bring in from other people and other outside sources. And so for it to be holistic, I just think of all the different aspects of your life other than food. So are you sleeping well? Are you lowering your stress? Do you have good relationships? How is your spirituality? Kind of all the things that make up a person. I think those all need to be kind of in good order in terms to have, you know, a healthy life. And I think health is, you know, somebody's, there's so many different definitions these days. but I think it's very personal into what, you know, makes you your best, makes you feel your best, and live your best life.
Go ahead and dive into what nutrition is not and what healthy living is not.
Definitely listening to other people when they don't have credentials and are just telling you what you should and shouldn't eat without knowing you. definitely, you know, restrictive eating, not enjoying life. I know there were so many times where I would go to a restaurant and I just wouldn't order something that I was really craving because it either had too much fat, you know, when we were in that whole low fat era, that we're kind of coming out of now. But just, it's, I think it's taking any outside voice other than a voice that you have come for. And even then, even if you've asked for help from somebody, to be very cautious of what they're telling you, and just making decisions and taking time to listen to what your body is telling you. That's a huge thing I have my clients work on. We work on hunger and fullness cues, finding foods that make them feel their best, feel energized and focused. Finding stress relief activities that make them feel great, and they kind of vary depending on the client. So I really think it's, you know, not listening to the outside people as often as we listen to ourselves.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Now, it's really funny is, my husband, actually, both of his parents are family physicians. He grew up in the, you know, having medical field around him. but he refuses to like listen to his body. It's really funny. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I hurt. Well, where do you hurt? I don't know, somewhere here, you know? And so we talk about food a lot. And so, you know, I know, and it's very interesting because we'll be eating something and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm done now. I'm full. And he just looks at me. He's like, what do you mean you're full? I'm like going, no, I feel full. I don't want anymore. And he's like, he goes, but it tastes so good. Why don't you just keep on eating it? You know? And so we'll have these conversations about like, so for him, listening to his body means this is yum. I'm pushing past that feeling of fullness. He doesn't even know what that feeling of full feels like anymore. And so he's someone that will go to the gym every day just so he can eat, you know, and he'll freely admit that to anybody. And so it's very interesting because the one thing I want to bring up is that there are what we believe to be easy sensations like the craving of sugar, right? Or the pizza, naturally, I want more. But that's actually, that's different than listening to your body, which is actually what you're talking about, you know? So we could feel tired and we could ignore that tired feeling and chug lots of like soda or coffee or like Red Bull. And then, you know, we don't think, you know, we were like, no, I'm actually fine now. We actually missed the opportunity to really listen to our body and honor that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you can address that a little bit.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot lately, especially in the fitness space on, you know, social media and even with people I know, the whole being tired but not listening to your body and pushing past that. And getting a workout in or, you know, doing something that, like, I don't really feel like doing this, but I did and I feel better. You know, I wonder how many times the people who push through that are actually feeling better. and it makes kind of a culture and a norm where people who are tired or who don't have the energy to do something and don't really feel like it and should sleep in that extra hour, when they see other people doing this and pushing past and making it seem like it's okay, then it kind of makes it okay for them to do it. And they're like, okay, well, if this person can get up at 5:30, you know, why am I not getting up at 5:30? And it's just pushing past like your limits. And then if you do that over time, your body can really go through some stress and then get some dysregulation going on in all of the systems in the body. So that is definitely something that I think is becoming more of the norm, is kind of pushing past, especially in the fast-paced business culture that we live in too. You know, people are at their jobs, you know, 80 to 90 hours a week. And some people, they really love it. And some people, they hate it, but they just do it because, you know, it's what they're told. Like, you have to push and drive in order to be successful. But I really quite think it's the opposite.
I'm so glad you actually brought that up, too, because that goes to a little bit about the mental and emotional health aspect. It is. You know, like you're talking about not listening to the fad diets, which we can address a little bit more in a moment, but when it comes to that, and it's where the fad diet of the mind. And so we're told that the perfect life is having, you know, X amount of kids and, you know, a perfectly mowed lawn and having this house and a nice, you know, SUV or minivan with, you know, that you're taking your kids to soccer practice. And some people find themselves not fitting into that mold or not feeling a sense of wholeness, completeness, and satisfaction when they do have that. And I think that there's, we forget about living authentically. And that living authentically, listening to what you need and want for your own mental and emotional state is part of healthy living. Could you address that a little bit more?
Yeah, I've noticed a trend with that as well, where people kind of know what they want to do and they really would love to switch whatever job they have or go live in like a tiny hut somewhere rather than like some fifth floor walk up in the city. But it's almost like they can't because people have this expectation of what they need to do, especially family. I know, you know, family is obviously a really key component to feeling happy and community, but I think that's also a breeding ground for, you know, living your life a way that may not be the most authentic and not what you really want, but it's because it's what your family wants or what they kind of, you know, nonchalantly tell you, oh, well, you should do this because this will happen, or why aren't you doing this? Like, you'll feel much better or you'll be more successful. And it's almost this pressure of like, you don't want to let them down. You don't want to let your boss down. You don't want to let your significant other down. And again, I think it just comes back to doing what makes you happy and listening to yourself. And I think that's just, people just need to make themselves happy first before they can make others.
Absolutely. My daughter, she's a senior at University in California, and she was just texting me yesterday that she recognizes that she's a people pleaser. And as someone mm-hmm. who's dealt with that for like, you know, for a lifetime too, you know, she was saying, well, how do you know when you're trying to do something for yourself or you're trying to do something to please someone else? Like, it almost, that line gets completely blurred, where you feel like you don't even know anymore whether what's going to make you happy. Because a lot of times you say to someone, what's going to make you happy? And half the time they don't even know, or they're not even aware if that's their answer anymore, or if that's someone else's that's been entrained
with
them.
I actually had a really great conversation with my friend yesterday. We were getting coffee, and we were kind of talking about this, you know, saying no to things and protecting your boundaries and your energy. I had something that I committed to yesterday that, you know, looking back, I definitely should have just taken the day off, but I felt like I had to help because of, you know, if I didn't go, then maybe a couple of these games would have been canceled, and I just didn't want to let, you know, the teams down. And she was like, you know, next time just think, like, when something's coming up or someone asks you to do something, if you're not fired up, like, you should be fired up. Like, yeah, this will nurture my soul. Like, I want to do this. This is exciting. Let's go. Rather than being like, oh, you know what? I don't really want to, but I feel like I have to. As soon as you say you don't want to, that's when you should just be like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I would love to help, but I, you know, I have other things I have to do. I need to sleep. I need to take care of myself. mm-hmm. So I think it's just that gut feeling and knowing, like, if your initial reaction is like, I have to think about it, or I don't really want to, but I think that's a good sign that, you know, it's not something that your heart's set on. And I think saying no would actually be better for you in the long run.
So let's swing back now to fad diets, because clearly one pops up every year, you know, and we're in a very big keto phase right now. You know, paleo was a few years before that, still living strong. But there is always going to be, like you were talking about earlier, there is the low fat, there is the high fat, there is the, you know, trying to eat lots of meat, there's trying to eat no carbs. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And everyone who comes out with this and calls themselves the expert, then you have a lot of people who jump on board and end all be all. And, you know, it's really hard, I think, for people who especially are struggling with weight, that they look at this as like the lifesaver, you know, that everyone's talking about, that keto is going to change my life, or a low fat diet is going to change my life. I'm going to finally be able to get my weight under control. And they do it, and then a lot of times people feel like they don't feel well, like you said, or it doesn't work for them, but they're told to stick with it. So can you talk a little bit about fad diets and what they do or they don't work?
So there are two things that kind of are coming up for me when I talk to clients about fad diets in general and just think about them. It kind of breeds a ground for a sense of inadequacy. If you're not able to follow the rules 100% all of the time, it makes you feel like you failed. And I know that's what I felt when I tried. I think I was vegan for like 3 days in college, which, I mean, for me, going from like, you know, working out in the gym and having our run tests and having practice every day, like that was just not working for me. And I remember being like, why can't I do this? Everyone else is doing it. You know, why am I still hungry? Why do I not feel like fueled? And, you know, I felt like a failure, and I felt like if I couldn't follow the don't eat after 8 p.m. rule or don't have dessert, you know, there was something wrong with me. Like, why are these people doing it, but I can't? And then also with fad diets, so moving on from that, I've realized in through my training, we're all about bioindividuality. So what works for one person's body is not going to work for another. So depending on your body type and what kind of foods you can process, kind of gives a way for people to figure out what works for them. So some people will go on keto and it works for them. That's awesome. That's great that you found that. But others, you know, especially if you don't have a gallbladder, if you can't digest your fats properly, you actually end up gaining more weight. And then, you know, diets, there's actually research behind, you know, people going on diets that is just not sustainable, and it actually sets you up for further either weight gain, you know, mental health issues, and they just don't work. So what I try and do with clients, and I, you know, because I've had experience with disordered eating, but I also know that some people need to be on therapeutic diets if they have tons of stuff going on with their digestion, blood sugar regulation, you know, food allergies. There's this fine line that I have to cross where I don't want to get someone started down a disordered path, but it's something that for right now their body needs, you know, needs to be in a healing state, and we need to take out some foods and maybe make some substitutes. So I'm all about finding the foods that kind of work for your body. And especially if you have to make some substitutes, you know, finding things that maybe can almost compare to your favorite foods and just going from there. But yeah, I think the diet culture is super strong still in this society. And, you know, I hear it every day from people at the gym, the girls that I coach, you know, young girls, they're making comments. Even some of my clients, you know, their whole thing is, you know, I want to lose this weight. How can I lose this weight? And I'm like, okay, let's focus on getting your body back into balance first and getting all the systems working well. And then we'll go from there. It's not a guarantee, but yeah. So I think it's definitely the weight loss thing is still huge on people's minds.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that the one thing is that so attractive to people about the newest diet is the fact that it is a very regulated program that they could subscribe to. It's kind of like, you know, some of the programs where you can buy certain foods, you know, that you eat all the time. And it helps people, like, they feel like it's very clear cut, you know, it is very regimented. And if they have someone who can tell them what to do and what to eat, and when to eat, they could try to follow that, even if it doesn't feel natural. And that goes back to, you know, our biggest concerns as a society is that we really are so used to going into a doctor for an acute issue, you know, and the doctor telling us basically take this medicine and it'll make you feel better. And we want someone to tell us what to do to feel better, someone to tell us what to do to be less depressed, more energy, more sleep, more sex drive, lose the weight, as opposed to diving in and doing our research and, you know, really becoming aware of the body and what's happening. And it really takes effort and work, and it is trial and error, because exactly what you're
and
talking about,
time.
Not everything. Time, yes. Exactly, exactly. And do you find that to be like the biggest obstacle that people have to overcome? It's that, you know, you can get into talking about habits now. It's the habit of rush, 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 as opposed to taking time to evaluate, to try things out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Slowing down is definitely a huge part of what I do with clients when we try and figure out, you know, what's going to work for them in terms of stress relief. Because if you're constantly going and going and going, your cortisol is going to be through the roof, your blood sugar is going to be dysregulated, and then, you know, other systems will take the hit. So especially when we eat our meals, we need to be slowing down, taking time, you know, even if it's like 10 minutes out of your crazy day to just sit and breathe, and bring yourself back down so you're not in that fight or flight mode all day while you're at work or in traffic. Slowing down is huge. And I think people don't realize as well, you know, how many years has it been going that you've been feeling bad or that your body has been out of balance? You know, some clients have come to me, it's been about 10 or 15 years since they felt well. So I'm saying, you know, it's not going to take a day for you to get back on track and feel better. You know, it's going to take time to heal your body and listen to it and get these habits. You know, it takes 21 days to make a habit. So if we think about how many new habits somebody has to make when they go from a sedentary lifestyle, eating at their desk all day long, not getting up and doing exercise, you know, there's so many habits that you have to add in, but you don't want to overwhelm the client. So it takes time. And, you know, I think people are always, again, you know, we go to the doctor, we want that quick fix. And it's just retraining the mind to know that, okay, it's not going to be a quick fix. And this is a life going to be healthy for, you know, a couple months. Like, you should turn this into a lifestyle and make it sustainable. And I think that's where diets fail, is it's not a lifetime or a lifelong thing, and it's not sustainable.
That's so true. And I think that a lot of times, too, when people go into different diets, there is, and I say this from personal experience, there's a lack of education and knowledge. And
yes.
And then if you don't do your own research, a lot of times you are not providing yourself with the nourishment that you need. I became a vegetarian when I was 16, And for about the first 10 years, I probably was like a carboholic, you know. I didn't grow up in a household where there was lots of fruits and vegetables and nothing was really cooked well, so I actually thought that that was pretty gross. Fruits and vegetables are pretty gross, right? Apples okay, bananas okay, potatoes are okay,
yeah.
And that's about it, you know, potatoes, starch. So it was constant, like pizza and carbs and baked potatoes and it was really interesting because I became a mother very young, and I just remember like just going, oh my gosh, this is what real broccoli tastes like, you know, and just being in awe. But then as soon as I made the leap to organic vegetables, and I could taste this huge difference, and I really started appreciating that and having to cook more for a toddler, then I started really experimenting with food. And I would do for myself what I did for my daughter at the time, which was, I think Cookie Monster said, you have to try this like 7 times before you like it, you know, or 9 times, whatever it was, you know, you have to try it over and over again in different ways. And, you know, and I look back at that time going, I started off being a vegetarian in the most unhealthy possible way. I somehow managed to survive it all.
Yeah.
But I was certainly not healthy because I was chronically ill, you know, I just never really felt good. And I attributed a lot of that to just, you know, basically just being very busy all the time. But I realized it was, I just was not providing my body with the fuel that it needed.
Yeah. And I think, preparation of food is huge for clients, especially clients who haven't tried many new vegetables and they're making that transition. You know, there's a stigma that health food is bland and boring and just salads all of the time. But, you know, using spices and different cooking oils and preparation techniques are really helpful to get people to understand, like, you can eat broccoli, but it's going to taste real good if you put some garlic and, you know, other stuff on it, salt and pepper. Don't be afraid of, you know, real high quality salt. and I think that is, again, you know, low fat, low salt, all of that kind of turned people off from, you know, tasting real food and understanding that healthful food can be delicious.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's unbelievable to me the different spices that you can create, you know, and you can, no matter what you're trying to choose, if you're really into like Italian food, well, that's really easy. That's using olive oil, right? Which is such a healthy oil to use, and sea salt, and like you talked about garlic and onions, a simple way to just flavor things. Or you can head over to like, you know, Northwestern Africa and be inspired by like Moroccan spices, or you can, you know, go to Asia and just use a lot more like, you know, hot, spicy foods. And it's, you can, there's such amazing ways to prepare food. And I think what it is, it's learning how to play with your food. You know, we tell kids, don't play with your food, you know, but for adults, I always say, play with your food, you know.
Yeah,
try,
play
try
with it. Exactly, Yeah, and it's almost fun, too, because then the whole family can, you know, get in on the fun and try new things, and it becomes kind of a family thing, making meals together and memories. And, you know, I always try and get clients to, if there's something to them that feels like they have to do it, or I have to do this, I have to meal prep, I have to make new decisions, I always try to get them to flip it as like, I maybe have to do this, but I also get to do this. I'm blessed to do this. You know, I am blessed to be able to create new meals with my family and get on a better track where I feel better and I have more energy. And, you know, even for some people, it's like, I have people who come to me that are like, I don't know how many years I have left. And that's like a little scary to me, but at the same time I'm like, okay, like you've made the decision, like this is for you to be with your family and be with your loved ones and take care of yourself. So just flipping that mindset of something that is had to be done and, you know, something you get to, something you have the ability to do, because not everyone can go and see a nutritionist or go to a doctor or go and see, you know, someone to figure out their spirituality and don't have the means to do that. So I just think it's also just being grateful for having the opportunity to be able to make some changes and think about it in that sense.
That's so wonderful, because that applies to everything in life, is that no matter what's happening, if we look at it with a positive attitude and gratitude, that it can just shift so much in our world. So what other like basic things can people do, small things they can implement in their world to, you know, move towards a quote unquote healthy lifestyle?
Yeah. So I say to take it a day at a time, maybe, you know, set out a week and really write down what it is this week that you would like to add in or accomplish. So if it's someone coming from, you know, the typical standard American diet, not much exercise, you know, maybe it's baby steps. So let's add in a glass of water first thing in the morning to get you hydrated, get your cells hydrated, get you going. And let's start with that. Some people I have to just start with one thing. So, you know, drinking more water is definitely huge. I think people would feel so much better. And we kind of talked about this before the call. But just adding in a little things here and there. So for other people who are already kind of on this healthy lifestyle journey, just finding new ways to maybe work on their breath work or work on their stress relief, try new activities, trying new foods, you know, traveling to a new place. You know, sometimes we think of health as, you know, food and sleep and stress and that's it. But, you know, it's also about growing and becoming a better person and seeing new things and meeting new people and having a sense of like, I've seen things, I've, you know, I've gone to different places, I've met different people who are awesome, I've tried new foods, and really expanding, you know, what it is that we think of health and thinking of it in more than just like your body.
I love that. I was watching a video on Facebook recently. I wish I could remember his name. He's like this former monk turned like Facebook, like lifestyle guru. And he has this video that was talking about traveling and how people who travel are more creative and people who travel are also much more happy and they have so much more gratitude for their world. And, you know, I could personally attest to that. You know, you go somewhere, if you can't even drink the water there, you come home, you could turn on the faucet and endless amounts of water and you can brush your teeth with your water there and you can just drink it right out of the tap. And it's just, there's so much gratitude that can happen from that. And then also, again, like you're, you know, just allowing yourself to absorb what other cultures or communities are doing can really inspire you with your next project, whether it's art or whether it's in your, you know, place of business, trying to strategize a new way to communicate with people or to work with your staff.
Yeah.
And, I think that's such an important thing that you just touched on because it's just, there's so many different avenues of healthy living, and you're right. It's not just about the food we put in. It's, you know, in Ayurveda, they call it you digest your thoughts as well, you know?
Yeah.
And you digest these opportunities and let them grow who you are.
It's actually really interesting. I've been reading up a little bit. I don't know too much about it, but a couple weeks ago, I was kind of reading some articles about people who have, you know, positive thoughts going through their head. It's your brain doesn't really see the difference between, you know, things that you're thinking through and envisioning and actual real life. People who are, you know, constantly thinking negatively and, you know, especially when you're, you know, I know for me when I was in my disordered eating, like it was always negative. It was always, you know, looking at my food as, you know, something that, you know, was scary and fearful of. And I think that really also, rather than even just not getting enough nutrients and the right nutrients, that was also hurting me mentally. And so our thoughts are huge when it comes to health and setting, you know, a positive mindset and gratitude and being appreciative. And those, your body reacts to those things. Just like, you know, digestion, if your body doesn't see the difference between different types of stressors. So whether it's, you know, a lion's coming at you, your body's going to see that just the same as if you're sitting in traffic, you're pissed off that you're sitting in traffic, you're fuming, you're frustrated, you didn't have a good day at work. Your body sees those as the same exact stressor. It doesn't distinguish between. So those reactions in the body are going to be the same. It's going to affect you the same way.
So do you think that one easy way for people who are feeling a lot of stress in their world or, you know, are aware that maybe they lean towards more negative thinking, that they can just take some time each day to find gratitude in something in their day and find something positive? How would you suggest someone kind of work that into their life?
I would say get a journal This has been super helpful for me. It's a place where you can write anything you want and, you know, nobody's going to read it. No one can judge you. You can write the good and the bad that's going on. And then either, you know, in the morning or at the end of the day or both, just write, you know, 2 to 3 things that you're grateful for each day. And I kind of got off, you know, I haven't done this in a while, but I do have like a couple journals that are dedicated to different topics and, you know, points in my life where I had to write down like positive things because otherwise I wouldn't have seen it or I wouldn't have known like consciously, you know, this is going well in my life right now. Like I forcefully had to be like, what is actually going well? Write it down. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Like, you know, it's not that bad. And just, yeah, a journal is huge. And then just being grateful, I think, even for, you know, little things in the day. I've heard a lot about manifestation. I'm trying to research a little bit more and kind of get into that. And I know so many people are like, you know, anytime you get a piece of, if it's a coin on the ground or you get a check from your job, as soon as you receive that, you have to thank the universe and thank, you know, be thankful for that money. And it kind of sets you up for, you know, hopefully attracting more of it. And so especially, you know, when new people come in your life, you know, tell them that you're grateful for them. Send them a little text, write them a little email or send a letter, you know, snail mail. And just finding that, you know, doing things for others and letting people know that you appreciate them and, you know, journaling, those are some things that I think are really helpful for that.
So now for food, you mentioned water earlier, adding in like maybe drinking more water during the day. Any other food tips for people that are looking to kind of just do something? We'll get into the holidays, especially going to the holidays, where people may not be able to all of a sudden do a huge conversion with changing their food diet. The small things that people can do?
So one thing that I always tell people is to balance your plate. And I know for me especially, like if I go into, say, Thanksgiving dinner, which obviously you're going to have multiple types of foods there. But, you know, sometimes if you go to some sort of party or some gathering and maybe it's just, you know, desserts and a few pieces of protein and stuff like that, if you can at least balance your plate there or before you leave, eat a meal that has protein, carbs, and fats in it. That way you get all the different macronutrients and your blood sugar will be regulated a little bit more than if you show up starving to this work party and all there are desserts and you eat them and you feel crappy about yourself. But it's not necessarily that it was the dessert. It was you just didn't set yourself up to have, you know, to make yourself feel okay. So I'm a huge person and I love dessert. but I always, okay, how can I make this balance? So I can have my dessert, but also, you know, have energy and feel well. So even just if you are at those work parties or those events where they have food, making sure you kind of balance your plate first and then add on the fun foods. So then, you know, you feel better and you still get to enjoy both.
So you're saying balance protein, carbs, and fat.
Yeah.
And then,
yep. So carbs are a little bit. Yeah. Think of carbs.
No, I was going to say, go ahead and yes, you can identify all three of those categories for people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so carbs, just think of those as like the kindling that gets a fire going. They're quick burning, and so that's like a quick source of fuel. Protein is a little bit more than that. It takes a little bit longer to break those down. And then fat, think of fat as the big logs you put on a fire. It takes a long time for those logs to burn. And so when you add all three of those together, the fat will and the protein will slow down the absorption of the carbohydrates. So you have a steady stream of energy when you're digesting your food rather than if you just eat a super carb-heavy meal, you're going to digest that super quickly and you kind of will crash in terms of energy. So even just having, you know, think of your plate in maybe thirds or something like that where it's just balanced. So you have all those macronutrients and that will kind of help slow the absorption because that's what makes you feel better is that your blood sugar is regulated when you eat all three together.
This is great. So then even like these are such simple tips that we can take into the holidays, right? Because we talk about anyway during the holidays to have gratitude. We sit down Thanksgiving, we say what we are grateful for. And so we can start that like now today and every day have that gratitude through the end of the year. And that can and then changing by having that gratitude, I think that really does help to change our mindset to be more positive And then, of course, you just address, like, when we're going into the holidays and there's all these amazing treats everywhere. You know, there's the grandma's, like, apple pie and someone made a Swiss roll.
Yeah.
And and then there's the turkey on the table. It's learning how to just kind of, like, you know, try to balance your plate, and then you can have, you know, treat yourself a little bit. What else can we do to help us, like, stressors? Because especially as soon as Thanksgiving's done, everybody is into the crazy mindset of Christmas. It's shopping. It's going to parties. It's, you know, the kids get off of school early, and, you know, parents feel like they're overwhelmed trying to find sitters and entertain them. Mm-hmm. So what are ways that people can nurture themselves and balance the stress of the holidays?
Yeah, so a couple things. The first one, so when we're at these events and we are with people who may not be, conscious of, you know, something that you're trying to do in terms of your health, or you get those people who make comments about your plate, really just ignoring those people and, again, listening to your body and what you need. Sometimes you go to those events and you don't want to eat all the desserts, but everyone has a full plate of them. And they look at you like, why don't you have your plate of desserts? And just having that ability to say, like, no, I don't want to. Like, I'm good with one. You don't have to judge my plate. So that can be a huge stressor, especially when you're around family at, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I know for me, you know, people would make comments, or, you know, I would just try and eat in a way that I felt good. And sometimes they'll make comments about it and it was stressful. And I was like, well, crap, maybe I should eat this, you know, extra thing that I didn't really want to. So in that stress sense, I think just, again, listening to your body and doing what you need to do to make yourself feel your best. And then in terms of, you know, having a crazy schedule, if there's not an opportunity to say no to something that you really don't want to go to, I know there's probably a few of those, especially around the holidays, but if there's even just a couple where you're like, I really don't feel like going to this, or, you know, dragging the whole family to an event that, you know, wasn't really even on your to-do list anyways, it was more of just, you know, something that was on the calendar, like, don't go to it. If you don't feel like you're up to it and you have to, you know, get a sitter or find something to get everybody there, and it's just more stressful than you think if you'd have fun there, then it's probably not worth it. And then just self-care. I love teaching clients about this because there is definitely a stigma, especially I find with women, that, you know, we feel guilty if we take care of ourselves. We feel guilty if we want that glass of wine in our bathtub. You know, I mean, I don't experience this, but I know clients have said if their kid is, you know, they put them to bed an hour earlier because they just needed that time. And you feel bad for paying for yourself to go get a massage or go get your nails done, or even just treating yourself to, you know, something that you've been saving up for. You feel bad about it. And I think self-care, it's such a trendy word right now, but it's all coming back to adding value to yourself and what's going to make you become the best friend, daughter, son, wife, husband, cousin, sister, brother. What's going to be what's going to make you the best person for your family? So whether it is going to the spa for a day or going and, you know, hanging out with a friend that you haven't seen in a while, just taking care of yourself. So my top ones for that, I love dry brushing. It's for people who don't know what it is, it's, you basically are just, you know, using some sort of like a dry brush. You literally just dry and you just brush your skin and it gets your lymph flowing and it feels really nice. And, you know, that's really helpful for, you know, calming down. Essential oils are huge for people, especially when you can't sleep and you're stressed and you have so much going on. Having those going at night, or even just having a little bit of like a whiff of them when things get stressful. Drinking lots of water again, always coming back to that.
I think that's the one. No, I think that's perfect because you're talking about, and you're saying how like self-care is so trendy, but what it boils down to is really at the end of the day in our culture, it is, we have to use keywords like self-care because we're, as you said before, we're always so busy and we don't have simplicity in our lives anymore. That's gone.
No.
That's why most people, if they go on vacation, they're trying to, you know, a lot, even, you know, they're going on vacation here, they're trying to spend in a lot of stuff, they go on vacation somewhere else that's, you know, outside the country. There's a lot of simplicity that they build into like a vacation, or people have, you know, just go to the beach just to like sit there and relax. We have added in so much stuff you know, stuff into our lives. We filled our calendars to the max. We have, you know, basically buying everything we possibly and everybody in our household thinks that they need. And so we're stressed about money because the money's buying things, and we're stressed about the time because everyone in our family is overstuffing their schedule. And our lives are not simple. If we were spending the time connecting with our food and our family and cooking together and not going out to all these things all the time, there's, you know, that's when I think that there is more of an ease in our life. But that word self-care is so important. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you are if you feel like you're in a place in your life where you are not able to create simplicity, the first step, like you said, is scheduling self-care time.
And going into and holidays, even scheduling days off.
Yeah,
I have to do that, or else I will work every single day of the week.
I
literally write in my calendar in a big red pen, day off. And even for me, it's so hard to stick to that. Like, I've written days off, and then I end up answering some client emails, or, you know, I'm still, like, doing a little bit of work, even though I'm justifying, oh, it's not really work, but it is. And then I, like, I'm realizing, you know, hey, I got to listen to myself.
That's fantastic. I love that. I hope everyone who's listening right now, pick, like, a day on your calendar over the next month and write in day off.
Yes.
No matter what comes up that day. Unless it's an utter emergency, you listen to Taylor.
Yeah. I even did it this morning. Today is like, I mean, the podcast is something fun, so I see that as like part of my day off. But, you know, this is my first day off in like a couple weeks, and I looked at my email this morning, and I was about to answer. I was like, nope, I'm exiting out of this tab. I will talk to them tomorrow. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world. They'll hear from me in the morning.
Exactly. I think that's so great that you're doing that. It's a reminder to yourself that, you know, you don't have to always be on call all the time.
Yeah, especially as a small business owner, it's, you know, my personal phone is pretty much my, you know, my connection to my business. So I find it's very easy for me to be checking up on things and not, you know, consciously just thinking, like, stop.
Mm-hmm. And if there's any of you out there who have, like, that same experience, too, just go do what Taylor just did again, right, on your calendar, a day off.
Day off.
So now just
red
like,
pen.
A red pen. Must have that day off.
Or a pink pen.
So
I have it in fuchsia.
I have a pink pen, too. They're fun. So we have just a few minutes left, and I wanted to just selfishly, if anyone else is listening out there and you're a foodie, you know, I love food, but this is where also simplicity, you know, in changing your diet is adding in or trying like a new food. So I have to know, what is your like number one go-to favorite like food, fruit, vegetable, carb, what have you?
Ooh, I'm such a dipper. I have to dip my food in everything. So like sweet potatoes and hummus are like my thing. I love
sweet
potatoes and I love hummus. Yeah.
Nice. So do you make sweet potato, like, do you make a dip out of that, or do you make it mashed?
No, I usually just roast sweet potato in, like, salt, pepper, a little bit of cinnamon if I want something, like, a little sweeter. And then when I'm, like, eating that, I'll usually just, like, dip it in the hummus. Sometimes I'll just eat it by itself. In college, I was huge into baked sweet potatoes and almond butter. Like, I thought that was the best combination ever, and I would just have it in my bowl, and my roommates would be like, what are you doing? Are you just eating a sweet potato? I'm like, yeah, it's my snack. It's got almond butter on it. It's great. You should try it.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic. I love that. So if you guys are out there and you're a
dipper,
definitely try it. Yeah, hummus is so great. It's so easy.
I love it.
For me, I'm like, there was a recipe someone recently had, and I was just going, it was such an easy, like, version of, like, an oatmeal that I cannot wait to try.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to pull it up now, and I'm not having success. But anyway.
Is it overnight oats?
It's like, she was using teff and oats and a couple of other healthy grains. Yeah, and then she was using, like, I think coconut milk, and then just some, like, nice warm spices. I love being able to different times of the year, you can change out your spices. So now, like, you're talking about cinnamon this time of year, which is fantastic, and nutmeg and clove, you know, savory, thyme, rosemary, The summertime, really focusing on basil and lemon balm, and you know, adding French sorrel to your lettuce, to your salad, or cooking with it. It's just there's so many different times of year to just play with food. So yeah, that would be like my one go-to is like her fun, like super grain breakfast.
That
I'm gonna try
good.
Oh my gosh! And one of my favorite things my husband made last year, he discovered in Minnesota, was Minnesota wild rice porridge. So for any of you out there from Minnesota,
ooh.
Oh my gosh, you guys are so lucky! It's great. They they harvest these grains. I think it's August, around August every year, and they're wild rice. And so it's a porridge made out of that, and it's just, I can't remember all the spices now. If anyone's interested, just go ahead and Facebook message me or email me through my website, and I'll send it to you. It's so good. It's amazing. And it's like so nourishing and high nutrients. And so it's
that sounds
like
amazing.
And like you're talking about food prepping, everyone's, you know, there's so many people who have Instapots now too. And you throw this stuff in an Instapot and it can be ready,
one
right?
So badly.
That's like on my Christmas wish list. But you can throw it in Instapot and it's done in like 10 or 15 minutes. You know, I personally love taking the time to cook things on the stove, but I know some people, the Instapot is like the saving grace, and it's such
it's
an easy,
a life
easy way.
Saver,
Well, thank you for entertaining me with the food question. I appreciate that. For anyone out there who is interested in learning more about Taylor, you can visit her website, aeronutritionaltherapy.com. That is also on the link below. She has a great website where she has blogs. Her blogs are not only educational terms of like health and wellness. She also puts a lot of recipes on there. And she has a resource section too. Whether you're in the Pennsylvania area or not, she actually gives you some information about where to shop, you know, about
where to look up
and
your
then,
local people. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank
and I'm
you.
Working
and
on my blog past too. it's been a busy couple month and a half, so there haven't been any posts recently, but I have some ideas in the works that I just have to sit down and type, but there'll be more.
and you do have, and she does have one about hydration on there. I think it was a two-part also.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
And
well,
salt.
Taylor, thank you so much. And salt. Okay, good. So I hope you join us again in the future. Hopefully, Taylor, you can join us again maybe in January where everyone's out of the holidays and really dives more into.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
It was so much fun. And thank you, everyone out there, for listening and joining us today on Zen Up. Have a beautiful day.